Hello, everyone, and welcome to Northern Witch Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley, and this is the podcast where we drink some tea and talk about all things magical, witchy, and everything in between. I am so over the tech issues that I have been having, and I know we cannot blame everything on Mercury retrograde, but I cannot even begin to explain the computer issues we were having at work this week. Programs shutting down, things saying they were not saved, but then save like 20 times, which is pretty much impossible because you cannot save things with the same name that many times. It won't let you. It will overwrite them every single time. Mind you, they are trying to convert thousands of employees over to SharePoint and away from the share drives on like the network. But like, even when I wasn't even using stuff on the network, programs would just shut down for no reason. I'd be mid-conversation with someone on, for example, a chat software that we use, and it would just shut down on me. Anyway, that is my rant. I hope you are all not dealing with what I'm dealing with this week, and if you are, I am so sorry. I feel your pain. I really hope you are all enjoying the Famous Witch series. I know I'm having a lot of fun researching and recording these. And I have some pretty good witches coming up and some wild stories that I cannot wait to share with you all. But I really wanted to bring it back to some more witch stuff. And today I want to talk to you about moon phases and why we witches love them so much. But first, are you ready for the card of the week? I'm not gonna lie, I get pretty excited for this part of the episode. So I'm gonna do a quick shuffle here. So the card that we got today is St. John's Wort and communication. Go figure, we get the communication card at the end of Mercury retrograde. I have personally never worked with St. John's Wort before, but it is used for divination, happiness, strength, and protection. And it is really good for helping with communication. So oftentimes you will see it hung in a home that needs a little help with some communication. It represents Leo and ultimately the sun because although the flowers are yellow, if you touch the leaves, it will turn your hands red from the oils. And historically, and I guess medically, St. John's Wort is often used to help with menopause. So it is very fitting that this card gets pulled today, to be honest. I think the message that this card is trying to tell us today is that it is time to speak up and communicate your feelings and frustrations more. Find your inner voice and bring it forward and tell people you won't put up with any of their bullshit anymore. That's the vibe I'm getting from this card today. Just basically keep it real and be open and communicate your feelings with people that you are either living with or you're having issues with. Be open with them and communicate with them. Oh, and also I am drinking tea as usual. To get in that moon vibe, I made a tea with jasmine and rose hips. Simple, but definitely embracing that moon energy. But let me tell you, it is hot in the room that I'm recording right now, so having a hot tea, man, it's very hot. This room faces west, and it is early afternoon, and the sun is beating in, and it is very hot in here, I didn't realize. Okay, so the moon. Us witches love, and I mean love the moon, and we all have our reasons why. We are currently just past the waxing gibbous moon, moving towards the next full moon on February 27th. Most witches and pagans tend to focus on the full moon when they do their rituals and spells, but all phases are important and represent different things. This episode, I'm going to talk about the different phases and what they generally represent and signify and what you can do during those different phases. Always remember, though, that this is general information and we all practice differently. If, for example, you feel what I say about the full moon feels better for you during the new moon, then do those things when it feels best for you. That is what is amazing about magic and witchcraft. It is unique to the practitioner. So, the moon phases. I am going to go through the moon phases based on what is considered the first in the cycle, and that is the new moon. This is the dark phase of the moon, and it generally signifies the beginning of the lunar cycle. So, if you guessed it, it is great for new beginnings. It is a time for self-reflection. Think shadow work. If you are looking within and working on that dark stuff, it is very fitting to work on that during this time in the cycle. And that is fitting because at this time, we don't usually see the moon in the sky. It is there, however, because of where it is positioned, it is dark. So dark, think looking within, think shadow work and all that. This is a great time to set some goals and intentions for the next month, season, year, and so on, and clear anything that won't allow you to move forward. Some pretty common rituals you can do during this time is journaling. Some green hearth or kitchen witches will only plant seeds during a new moon. Meditation is always good. And when you think of your intentions or goals, think big, but also think about everyday stuff such as planning out your meal plan, your exercise routine, even your clothes for the upcoming week. Mind you, most of us are pretty much wearing, you know, leggings and t-shirts and hanging out at home, but you know, you can still plan it out if you want. Basically, it is a time to just get organized. This is also a good time to cleanse your home and yourself and prepare for the new cycle. Choose your preferred cleansing method and just cleanse. After the new moon, the next phase is the waxing crescent moon. And this is a time in this cycle that you really want to focus and commit to your intentions. You may have set out numerous intentions at the new moon, but which one is sticking out the most for you? Focus on that one. Visualize it, say affirmations. Basically, this is a time to make sure it is at the front of your mind daily and that you are working on it daily for it to happen. You really want to manifest that intention. This is a time for freshness and focusing on details and declarations. So if you want to do a self-dedication, this is a good phase to do it in. Up next is the waxing quarter moon or the first quarter. So, okay, you are visualizing and affirming your intentions, but it is maybe not fully working. This is where you are going to want to look at why it is not working and why it is. Are you grounded, stressed, sleeping well, eating well? This is where you will want to work with your challenges, whether it is for your intention or just everyday challenges you are going through. A lot of people tend to work on distance during this phase as well. So if you are trying to get over someone or distance yourself from a toxic friend or family member, this is the time to work on those binding, freezer, and cord cutting spells. It is also a great time for rooting. So work on your root chakra, ancestor connections, and grounding. Okay, so this next phase, the waxing gibbous moon, is my least favorite. It always makes me feel off. And all those memes about the full moon making people crazy? No, it is the waxing gibbous moon. We always just think it is the full moon because the moon is starting to appear more and more full in the sky. This is a very high energy moment of the lunar cycle. This is a great time for reflection and do some of your more powerful spells and rituals because that energy is coming to its peak. Think of this as an avalanche. It is most powerful as it is coming down the mountain. Same thing with this moon phase. All that energy and momentum is building up and moving towards the full moon. This is a time in the cycle where you are going to want to nurture your life. Spoil yourself a little bit, self-care, retail therapy, work on that glamour magic during this time. This is a great time to work on confidence spells and rituals. Basically, this is a time to start really amping up you and using that energy to raise your vibrations and get into that mindset, you know, to be confident, be powerful, and just keep up with that momentum. And up next, the most popular moon phase, the full moon. This is a time for reflection and release, releasing everything that is building up since the new moon and everything that is no longer serving you. This is the moment where everything you have worked on throughout the cycle is coming into fruition, hopefully, of course. A lot of people feel excited, energized, bursting with some sort of strange energetic vibe. And I mean, there is no doubt that the full moon is definitely very powerful. And if you add in other things such as a super moon or, for example, a blue moon that we had recently, the presence of the full moon is definitely captivating. I mean, who doesn't look up at the sky when the moon is just there, huge, and just beautiful, right? I always get a kick after every full moon about the amount of Facebook posts of people taking pictures of the moon, and it's this tiny little dot in the sky when if you're looking at it in person, it's this gigantic thing in the sky. And I'm talking like non-witches and pagans posting about the moon, so clearly everyone is captivated and energized by the full moons. Some of the things most people do during this time are go for moonwalks. Basically, it is just going for a walk under the moonlight. Or you can also go for a swim. I had a pool in my childhood home and I loved nighttime swimming. It was so calming before bed. That is something that I really, really do miss about my childhood home. And no, I was not swimming in the pool late at night as like a 4-year-old. No, I'm talking about when I was in my teenage years. When I really started realizing that I was a witch, when I first started getting into it, I would go for swims late at night at like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and it was so calming for me. I would absolutely love to get a pool again. However, the cost to run one in Ontario is insane due to electricity and water cost here. So that is a big nope. If you do not have access to a pool or a lake or a pond or whatnot, you can always do a moon bath, which does not involve any water at all. It is where you sit in the moonlight and meditate or let the moonlight cleanse you. You can also do yoga in the moonlight. And I really cannot wait for our fence so I can do this kind of stuff. So it will be a little bit easier. But we do live in a suburb, so there's only so much distance I can get from my neighbors. So if my husband is listening, this is the reason number 1,000,001 why we need to live in a cabin in the woods. Just think about it, okay? For the green hearth and kitchen witches, as I mentioned, they tend to plant on new moons, but a lot of them tend to harvest their herbs and produce under moonlight, and specifically during a full moon. And a lot of witches and pagans tend to cleanse and charge their crystals under the full moon moonlight. And of course, you can go dancing. Yep, witches dancing preferably in a forest under moonlight. Can I get any more stereotypical? But seriously, there is something very magical about doing that. If you haven't done it before, definitely recommend trying it because it is very uplifting. It is very energizing. I don't know. It's hard to explain. You have to do it to fully understand what I'm talking about. The waning gibbous moon is up next, and we are now moving towards the dark moon again. This is a time in the cycle to balance things out. This is a time to give back through donations or volunteer work. It is a time for you to nurture others. Put feelers out there and see if you have any friends or family members struggling right now and help them. Light a candle for them, do a spell or ritual for them with their permission, of course. My logic for this is that if you are constantly asking the universe, your gods and goddesses, spirit guides, and so on for help, you need to give back a little bit as well. So this is a time to do offerings to the fae, spirit guides, and so on. You just can't keep taking without giving back. And if you do these offerings, you're going to build your relationship with your guides. And they will really appreciate that. So during this time, the waning gibbous moon is a time to work with your guides and do those offerings, you know, whether it is to a guide specific, to the earth, to a friend. It is time for you to give back the energy that you have been receiving. The third quarter, or the last quarter, is really a time for forgiveness and transition. If you are doing a lot of self-work, such as shadow work, you are dealing with some pretty heavy stuff. So this is really a time to forgive. Forgive yourself, others, if you can, of course. I know it is easy to say. Hell, I know I'm not ready to forgive some things. It is also a time for breakdown. So break down some of those walls if you can and let yourself learn to trust again. This is a time to do some cleansing rituals, spells for protection, and to basically you want to do things to help with this transition time. Finally, the waning crescent moon. This is coming to the end of the lunar cycle, and you may have been dealing with a lot throughout the cycle. So naturally, this is a time for rest and rejuvenation and self-care, obviously. Book a spa day or give yourself spa treatments at home. this is a time also to potentially not do any magic at all and give yourself a magic break or a detox. If you have been doing some pretty intense spell work or rituals throughout the whole cycle, this might be a time for you to like take a step back and just rest and give yourself that break. But yeah, those are the general things you can do or focus on during the different moon phases. Obviously, you can mix and match things. If you feel like you vibe more with the new moon or the gibbous moon, work with that energy instead. Regarding cleansing or charging your crystals, again, you can do this at any point during the cycle, depending on what energy you need. It is very easy to take a clear quartz, for example, and put it under a gibbous waning moon and let that moon charge that crystal so you can use it for specific things during that moon phase. That's the beauty with some of these crystals, the core crystals like a clear quartz. You can charge it with anything that you want, and once you're done with it, you cleanse it and you can charge it for something else. Other things that you can do for all moon phases is make a lunar tea. This is where you would boil your water, place your tea in a cup or a pot, and let your tea steep under the moonlight. And again, depending on where you are in the lunar cycle, your tea will be charged with that energy from that specific moon. And the same thing goes with moon water. Again, it doesn't have to be water charged by the full moon. What I am thinking about doing is getting these glass jars and label them for the different times of the cycle and charge the water accordingly. That way, depending where I am in the cycle, I can use that moon water for specific things, or you can mix some moon water together to bring in the different properties from the different moons and create like a super water. And depending where you are in your lunar cycle, you can take a cleansing bath no matter what time of the lunar cycle you're in. Every single moon phase can have a cleansing component to it, so you can definitely take cleansing ritual baths and invoke that energy from that moon. And if your bathroom has a window and the moonlight shines perfectly into your tub, then bonus. But you can do it at any point or any time of the day because that energy from the moon is always there. The moon is a very powerful force and it affects so many aspects of our lives. My logic is that if it can affect the tides of the ocean, it can affect us humans also. And to some degree, I feel that women are even more affected by the moon. There are 13 lunar cycles in a year, and women tend to have, on average, 13 menstrual cycles as well. Does it affect our period directly? They say no, but to me, it is no coincidence that it is 13 and 13. And if you remember the episode on Friday the 13th, you know that 13 is deemed as a feminine number and deemed to be bad as a result. And there are a lot of factors that play into this, but most women tend to have their cycles lined up with the moon phases and with other women. Obviously, many things can disrupt that, but a lot of women tend to have their periods close to the full moon and ovulate during the new moon or vice versa, or at different phases in the lunar cycle as well. I know for me, someone who has endometriosis and adenomyosis, my cycle can sometimes change, but it does tend to follow a pattern with the moon. If you don't know what endometriosis is, it is a condition where the lining of your uterus grows outside of your womb and ultimately causes scar tissue throughout your reproductive organs. Adenomyosis is very similar, but the lining grows into the uterus itself, causing scarring inside and hardening it. Both cause intense pain and fertility issues, and there are no cures to them. There is a lack of education, including in the medical field itself, which is crazy because it affects millions of women worldwide. And both conditions are common causes for women not being able to conceive. Many doctors don't even know what it is, which results in women taking, on average, 7 to 10 years to get a diagnosis because a lot of doctors wave it off as, oh, you're just having a bad period. Let's try some birth control and some pain meds. Now off you go. My story is very similar to that as well. I had intense pain when I was a teenager, pretty much right from when I started having periods. it would make me absolutely miserable, and all my friends were able to manage, go out, and continue on with their lives as if nothing was happening to them. And I thought, wow, I'm weak. I cannot even handle a period. I saw my doctor, and she said that to me as well. Oh, it is a period. You're young. Here's some birth control. It will also help with acne, and take ibuprofen. Okay. It did not work, obviously. So I went 10 years thinking it was normal. I would get these intense flares that would sometimes put me in the hospital thinking I had my appendix about to erupt on me. Only for the hospital staff to do all the testing and be told, nope, it is not your appendix. Here are some pain meds. Now please go home. It wasn't until I moved to Ontario and got my current family doctor that I was finally being heard by someone. Mind you, it did take me like 5 years to even tell him about my pain because I honestly thought it was normal. I had a pretty intense flare, which is what I call them, but basically I was spotting on and off for 40 days in a row, which is not normal. When I called my doctor for an appointment, he was slammed with appointments, so it did take about a month to get an appointment. But when I told him about the spotting lasting since I called for about 40 days, he then asked me more questions about my cycle. When I told him about my pain, my flow, and all the horrible symptoms, without even hesitating, he sent me for ultrasounds. And he told me right then that I most likely have endometriosis. He asked if my mom had it, and she did, so he felt confident to diagnose me with it, but still sent me for testing to make sure it wasn't something more serious. I did all the testing, and within 2 weeks, he got my results, but all that it showed was I had adenomyosis. Both are hard to diagnose via ultrasound, and endometriosis is even harder because it could be outside of your uterus. But I finally had a diagnosis, and I felt like I was heard for the first time. It took me 15 years to get a diagnosis. Part of it was my fault for not mentioning it to my new doctor sooner, but like I said, I thought it was normal because I was told that my entire life leading up to that point. I have had follow-up ultrasounds since then, and endometriosis has been seen on an ultrasound, but here's the kicker. These two diseases cannot get officially diagnosed unless you have a hysterectomy. So doctors always say you have suspected endometriosis, suspected adenomyosis. But anyway, I did not want to go off on a tangent like this, but I am bringing it up because March is Endometriosis Awareness Month and April is Adenomyosis Awareness Month. If you are someone who is suffering monthly with extreme pain, nausea, infertility issues, and 100 other horrible symptoms during your period, talk to a doctor, get tests, and be persistent until you get a diagnosis. It is not normal to be in that much pain, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Sadly, the healthcare system is still very masculine-based. It is getting better, but for some reason, a woman's cycle is still taboo even in the medical field. I used to dread my period, and I mean, I still do for obvious reasons. It is quite painful for me. I was put on dozens of medications and hormones. I honestly think I have tried every single birth control pill out there. Oh, and by the way, the birth control pill was created by accident. They were trying to make, I don't think I can say the name. It is a name brand. But they were trying to make a drug used in the psychology field. That's all I'm gonna say. And this was a side effect to that drug that they created. So they switched their marketing and sold it as birth control. So a little FYI on the birth control pill. But yeah, the pill made me legit crazy. As a water sign, my emotions are already kind of all over the place, but the pill heightened that to the extreme. But that is a standard treatment now, the pill and pain meds. A few years ago, I decided to stop all pain medication and the pill because I have been on them the majority of my life and they weren't doing anything for me. So I thought to myself, why am I putting in these things into my body when it's not working for me? So I made the decision after speaking with my doctor to stop medication. So, disclaimer, I am not a doctor and this is not medical advice at all, just talking about my experience. If this is something that you are thinking about, I encourage you to speak with your doctor to make sure that is the right move for you. And at this point, also, I was having more side effect symptoms from the pill and the pain meds than symptoms from the actual diseases that I had. So I stopped, and guess what? My symptoms stayed roughly the same. I do experience a little bit more pain leading up to it, but overall, I am okay. I do believe that it also has to do with how I see my cycle now. Instead of it being something that I dread, I started embracing it. And I have noticed my pain and my cycle is better as a result of my change in viewing it. Don't get me wrong, there are some cycles I am absolutely bedridden, they are absolutely brutal, but those tend to be the ones where I am more stressed out, running my body to the extreme, and not paying attention to what my body is telling me it needs. But when I'm calm and prepared for it, it is definitely a better experience for me. A woman's cycle is special. Whether it be human, animal, or nature, the cycle is beautiful as it brings and creates life. But sadly, over the years, it has been made to be taboo. Women have been told over the years, over the centuries, that you do not talk about your periods, you do not talk about sex, you do not talk about anything that makes you you. Women had to be and always look prim and proper, and if you have symptoms, you just need to suck it up. But like the lunar cycle, it is magical and we should be embracing it because at the end of the day, nothing on this earth would be here without it. I am not going to go on much longer on the menstrual cycle because, to be honest, I wrote this all in right before I started recording, so I didn't even plan on it. But I do want to share with you some things that you can do to embrace your cycle and use that energy. One ritual that you can do is take a ritual bath. One, it is good for pain management if you put in Epsom salts, for example, but it is a time to cleanse as well. It's time to shed, literally and figuratively, all that no longer serves you. So, this is something you can easily do, build a bathing ritual around your time of the month. I know some women who collect menstrual blood, which, by the way, it is also called moon blood. Fitting, right? And they will use it in their rituals and spells. If this is something that you're not comfortable with, but you like the concept of it, you can use cherry or beet juice to represent that in a spell or ritual, or wine, just like the church. And like I said, a lot of women link up with the moon cycle. The red moon cycle means you have your period on the full moon and ovulate on the new moon. This type of cycle suggests you could be working on empowerment spells during your period and the full moon, and working with your shadow self during ovulation and new moon. And if you have a white moon cycle, means you ovulate at the full moon and have your period at the new moon. And this pattern suggests that you need to let things go at the full moon slash your ovulation and focus on self-care during your period slash the new moon. Obviously, you can have your period at any time during the lunar cycle, but essentially, you want to focus on what your cycle is trying to tell you and go with that. What do the phases of the moon mean to you? And if your cycle lines up with that, work with that alongside your cycle. Learn to embrace it, build rituals around it, cancel plans when it shows up unannounced, and have a date with yourself and have a lot of self-care that night. These are two very important cycles, and we need to learn to embrace them both for their full potential. But also note that your witch abilities are not based on how you identify as. It is not purely feminine or masculine, and you are not better or worse if you are female or not. Always remember that. But that is it. I will wrap it up now. Sorry, gentlemen, if you tuned in. Sorry, I went to a topic that many of you may not have expected or do not experience yourself. But you can embrace the lunar cycle. And if you have a wife, girlfriend, partner who goes through this, you can learn to embrace their cycle and what this means for them. I already started writing notes for the next episode before I even finished this one because I found some information and topic that I cannot wait for you all to hear. It will be revealed next episode, but the only hint I'm going to give is that I found some more information on one of the witches from one of the episodes that we just talked about. And yeah, I'm very excited for this next episode. If you want to keep this conversation going, please join the Facebook group Northern Witch Coven. The password to get into the group is Hocus Pocus. You can also follow me on Instagram at Northern Witch Podcast. I am also now on YouTube. I am still uploading all of the podcast episodes and working on video content. Honestly, there's not enough hours in the day for me to do everything that I need to do sometimes, but that is happening. And you can also email me at northernwitchpodcast@hotmail.com. But for now, friends, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again.